And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. It is indeed a Wednesday. Time to focus on K-State Athletics, as we just mentioned, brought to you by our friends at Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit as well. Brian Smoller joins us. I always joke about it when we have Brian on the show that I could tell you everything that Brian does and give you the full real title. And we wouldn't have enough time to go through all of it before we could ask Brian a question. Our time would be up. Let's just put it this way. I'm going to read it exactly how Brian Smoller has it on his Twitter page. Senior Director of Broadcasting Video Services, K-State Athletics, Sportscaster, Husband, Father, Follower of Jesus. That's a big title in itself on your Twitter page, but if we really went further, it would take up your entire Twitter page. Brian, how you doing? And what do you do when you don't have women's games to call on the radio or TV?
Wow. Well, first, thanks for the very long introduction. I would say that I only make it look like I'm doing a lot. I've mastered that very well.
Well
and,
done.
And then we have great, great people here that do all the actual work behind the scenes. No, there's plenty to do, certainly, without calling games, although that you do miss that part. And look forward to getting back into that rhythm of calling action and calling games. It was nice taking a break over the holidays, and you come back and you're ready to go and get geared up for a contest, and all of a sudden find out it's postponed, but such is life here. It has been, unfortunately, getting more used to it here over the last 6 months. I'm afraid we're not out of it yet, and there are more to come, I would imagine, before it gets better. So we do the best we can and try and fill those days doing prep for other stuff.
For folks that aren't familiar with what's truly going on, let's just start with the K-State situation on the women's side. Yesterday, why don't you just go ahead and explain it for people out there in regards to how it affects the women's season and then how they move forward from here?
Sure. So the women's team is on a pause due to COVID-19 protocols. It's not K-State policy because of privacy issues to reveal who tested positive or which, if it were player, staff, or whatever. But there are a number of, there are enough of those positives and contact tracing players and staff and whoever that need to quarantine and be away from any sort of basketball activity. So it's not like an injury where you can just rehab and do conditioning on the side. No, you literally have to be in your house quarantined for up to 18 days. It's the 10-day window of symptoms and health, monitoring those, and then it's the 7 to 8 days of tests that K-State and the Big 12 have in place to get someone back into action or back cleared, all the way up into including an EKG to make, you know, check hearts and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, K-State announced right after the new year that they were pausing for a week due to these issues, and would have two games postponed, and then had more positives and more issues arise on Monday, just the other day. So they announced two more games postponed. They were not alone. Baylor has announced a pause and then postponement of some games, notably their showdown with UConn. Oklahoma State has announced a pause. Kansas is under a pause. So this is not, K-State is not unique, unfortunately, across the league. What it means, the Big 12 built in their schedule for both the men and the women, three open dates at the end of the season in that first week of March before the Big 12 tournament. So there was some wiggle room to move games to that spot. But with the games postponed, K-State's had four conference games now postponed already. So just do the math. That means one game would not be made up. Who decides which games do get made up, which ones don't, and how that affects seeding for both Kansas City, how that affects seeding for the NCAA tournament, how that affects potentially a Big 12 championship run for a team is all yet to be determined, and I think would be a very frustrating process here over the next month or two, and that's assuming you don't have any more games postponed. So there's a lot to get figured out. In the meantime, the short time, it's just a matter of getting healthy, getting everybody safe, and making sure everyone's okay before we get back to playing basketball.
Brian Smoller, Sportscaster, Senior Director of Broadcasting Video Services at K-State, our guest today here on the Sports Ticket, focus on K-State Athletics, brought to you as always by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. It is so challenging for everyone involved. Obviously, it's challenging for the coaching staff. It's challenging for the university, challenging for the players, challenging for the media, the broadcasters, and so many other people as well. You know, Coach Mitty, I know you've talked to him many times, of course, covering K-State women's basketball, and a couple of times that we've had him on the show since, you know, all this happened with COVID-19, is he says you're just holding your breath. Every time you take the test, you're just hoping nobody's positive. You're hoping you can move forward, and then you have to be ready to play at an instant. I know there's a situation where earlier in the year where the K-State women's game at home was postponed or canceled due to a problem with COVID-19 with the opposing team. And so all of a sudden you try to find a game, and in case it goes to Central Arkansas. So it makes it challenging for everyone. And I know he also told us that, listen, we've been without a lot of players for an extended period of time because of various quarantines and contact tracing before they even really got into the season. And there's a lot of things that people don't see behind the scenes that are out here. We hear about the pause, we hear about contact tracing, we hear about positive cases, but we really don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. Can you elaborate on that a little bit in regards to how often the players are getting tested, the stress that comes with that? I know Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, talked about Coach Kleiman being such a difficult and challenging year, and certainly at the end, K-State opted out of a bowl game because of issues with COVID-19. Can you take us behind the scenes a little bit to explain the frustration and stress level that is associated with this pandemic and what the athletic programs are going through right now?
Sure, and I would say that everything that I'm about to say, some of it's unique to K-State, some of it is shared among everybody else, not only in the Big 12, but across Power 5 schools across the country. And for that matter, there's a trickle-down effect to smaller colleges, KCAC, NAIA level, whatever. I mean, everyone's feeling the same sort of pressure and dealing with circumstances that COVID has impacted any sort of team continuity or chemistry. I think so K-State athletes get tested 3 times a week. And for the Big 12, you basically have to get tested 3 times over the span of 7 days. And there has to be at least 1 day of separation in between the tests. So, you know, if you're breaking it out, most teams would do their tests on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as it pertains to games. And you test at noon, you get the first test that's during the week is usually a PCR test, the one that takes longer, and then the quick rapid tests usually are on Fridays. So that's the way it was during football season. That's the way it is. On game day, they'll take a rapid test to before the game starts, and it's usually 6 hours before the game tips off to see if there's anybody that has a positive. The rapid tests do have to, at times, come back, have a higher propensity to have a false positive. So going to what Jeff was saying about coaching, about not knowing, you can have a whole week of negative testing, and then the day of the game, go in there, do a rapid test, and have somebody pop positive, and all of a sudden you've lost that person for the game. Potentially, and maybe more if it's determined that it is a legitimate positive and there's contact tracing issues with a teammate or staff. The contact tracing is usually determined by our in-house trainers and medical team who go back and review film of practice, of everything, of where those student athletes have been, and interviews with them to determine who they've been around for any extended period of time. They also wear these Kinexon devices, which are basically a fancy sort of Fitbit, for lack of a better description, that kind of determines in relation to each other. It monitors the staff. Everybody wears them and during practice and games. And so it kind of gives you an idea of how long they were around somebody, standing on the sidelines with either a mask on or a mask off. All that to say that you can retest somebody on a game day if you think it's a false positive and determine if it is a false positive or not. It still may have someone sit out for that game, and then you find out later, oh, yep, it is a legit positive, and so now they're out. What it does is it's very difficult to go into each day and practice and formulate a practice schedule. Yeah. If let's just go to football, if you're trying to get some position group better, and hey, we got to work with these guys this day, we got to make sure we work really hard on these wide receiver guys this week or the offensive line, it's very difficult to go out there and institute that practice schedule when half of that position group suddenly on a Wednesday is decided they can't play. And not only can they not play, they can't be in your building. They can't be around you. They can visit with you via Zoom, and you could give them a game plan, but that's not the same as reps, right? Yeah. You can't learn to play golf virtually. You have to be there swinging a club, right, mm-hmm. to learn how to play. So it's the same for anything else. You can't learn how to shoot a basketball better. You can't learn how to run 40 minutes in a basketball game and be conditioned to do that unless you're actually doing it. You can't do that virtually. So that's where it becomes very difficult. And you look at the men, they were supposed to have a foreign trip during the summer. Mm-hmm. They were going to have early, and then they would get all that practice time around that foreign trip. You have as many underclassmen as they have, and all the freshmen that they have on that team. How do you build any sort of continuity and chemistry and try and grow without having that, and then a very extensive non-conference schedule and exhibition games to kind of ramp up into stiffer competition and build some confidence with those guys? Those guys got thrown into a conference game four games into the season. It's mind-blowing to me to think how you can and this goes to Chris Kleiman as well. When you're trying to establish culture in a very young program or young team, in the case of men's basketball, not necessarily a program, but a young team, right, with all those new guys, football, young program. It's only the second year you're trying to institute a new culture and try and cycle through, you know, guys that are buying in and who aren't. Very difficult to do when you're doing it mostly remote. You know, Jeff Mitty and his team, they have mostly a lot of returners at key spots, but they've lost some leadership and had to fight through that as well. So, it's a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of mental challenges and mental hurdles, and you're asking 18, 19-year-old people to be able to handle stuff that grown-ups need. Yeah. I myself am struggling with day-to-day, the sure. mental challenge of trying to deal with this stuff. I can't imagine being 18, 19, already having so many other things coming at you, and now trying to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, and this is why I've mentioned on the show, I know Dusty agrees with me, is that I feel very strongly, based on the information that, and I was aware of some of that, and now more that you, since you expanded upon that, is that I don't think any coach, unless there's just, there's some kind of abuse happening within the program or something just, unbelievable. I don't think any coach should be fired this year. I'm blown away by coaches that have winning records like Tom Herman at Texas and Gus Malzahn at Auburn. And these teams had winning records on top of everything. And everything had to deal with COVID. And then they fire their coach and bring somebody else in. I know coaches make a lot of money. I know they're supposed to get things right. But at the same time, based on the things you just said, I just don't know. Fans got to have some. We always talk about fans having patience, boosters, alums, everything else having patience. But if there's ever a year to use the word patience, this would be the year. And because of some of the things that you just said, I mean, K-State last night, getting back onto the floor, I was pleased with what I saw from K-State in some various parts of the game against Texas Tech. I know they lost the game by 11. But knowing the things that you and I know and other people that follow K-State closely know, there was progress that was made in that game last night. But yet so many people have that instant gratification situation, and people talk about how, well, this went south because we didn't go to a bowl game in football. We were 4-0 in the Big 12. Or this went south because we lost in a exhibition game. We lost to Fort Hays State in a basketball game and so forth and so on. But yet people don't fully grasp how much stress there is this year because they all want to play. We heard Scott Frost say, we just want to play. And I do wonder, if off the record, if you talk to some of the coaches and if they had known ahead of time all the stuff that was going to come with this, would they have still wanted to play? I would guess they probably would have, but they might have been a little bit more apprehensive about it. I just can't imagine what everybody's going through. And it seems like to me, we should provide some leeway, whether we are a fan or a supporter of a program.
I think that's well said. I think there are extenuating circumstances, certainly, as you mentioned. Those places that have made coaching changes, there may have been other factors that played into right. that were pre-existing this year, right? So, something that had built up over time that off the court, off the field, whatever, led to that decision. I'm not going to discount that because we're not in that situation. Sure. All I can speak to is Kansas State. And knowing that, I think you made some great points. First, there were times, I think, in football this year that K-State played a game. Well, I can know two games for sure that K-State played a game. And I would venture to guess that 80% of other teams across the country, schools across the country would not have played. They would have said, we are under the threshold. Well, three games. K-State won one of those games, and they lost two of them. And they lost big. So the three games were Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Texas. Those three games, K-State went in with upward near 40 players out. You're already at a program that depth-wise you're not at the level you needed to be, right? That was the issue with Coach Snyder at the end, was that it was the program depth-wise, talent-wise, was not at the level it needed to be or anywhere where it had been before. So Chris Klieman already inherited that roster and was already going through that process and had already identified, even in year one, had told Gene Taylor and other staff members that year two was going to be a bit of a struggle just based on the numbers, on the scholarship numbers and who they had. So anyway, that's a long way of saying, in comparison to men's basketball, that it's different, I think, when you're a team like Kansas and Bill Self, where you have relatively a culture in place and you have very good talent and established players that can kind of hold the hand of your younger ones through a difficult time like this. They know the standard of Big 12 basketball. They know the standard of the head coach. In the case of K-State men's basketball, you have so many new faces. Last night, Kansas State had 8 scholarship players.
Yeah.
One of those has been here longer than 2 years. Mm. And, you know, or longer than a year and a half. Dejuan Gordon is a sophomore that played last night. He's the only one besides Mike McGurl that has any idea of what it's like to play in the Big 12 prior to this season. These guys have played 12 games in their career. I mean, Nigel Pack is averaging 11 points. He's got six double-figure games already. He's almost hit the exact same numbers as Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes in their freshman year, and those guys played 30 games.
Yeah.
And these guys, we're ready to, you know, there are a lot of fan talk about Bruce and the men's basketball team already this year, and I'm with you. I just can't fathom how you can hold someone to their feet to the fire in the season where you have this many. You have 18-year-old kids that have no idea, none, what it's like to play at the Big 12 level. And trying to get them all playing together, and you've had zero off season to do it with.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
How can you do that? You can't just roll the ball out there and expect those guys to go play. Look at Kentucky,
yes,
having the same issue right now,
mm-hmm,
with this many freshmen. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's difficult to evaluate coaches in this season. It seems to me because the athletes are all getting a free pass for this year, right? They all get a free year of eligibility. It should be the same for the coaches as well.
Agreed.
And you go back and wants to get an off season, and then you go forward. I think the only exceptions to those rule would be in the cases where we don't know. This could have been the case with Tom Herman and the rest. If there's other issues off the field that had been pre-existing prior to this season that would have led an administrator to that decision.
Right. One more thing before we get to the off-the-wall question. What about the financial impact of all this? I mean, we know that schools in across the country, different places, even Power Five institutions, have had to cut some sports. You got Title IX to worry about on top of that, of course, make things equal. It's been a national story. 60 Minutes did a story on it. Sports Illustrated did a story on this. What about at Kansas State University in regards to when you don't have fans – obviously when you do play games, or then when you don't have games, obviously if you don't have games for road games, it does cost money to travel and go to on a road game, whether it's in conference or non-conference. There was a recent story about the cost of attending bowl games, and that some schools, and K-State was used as an example in the story, that some schools, when you go to certain bowl games, you actually could lose money because all the cost of actually going to the bowl game in return for the revenue you get for that bowl game. How does, and I'm sure you've talked with Gene Taylor about this a little bit, and I'm sure he's talked, of course, to the president, and everybody's on the same page, hopefully. How do they go about moving forward in regards to the financial challenges that we're all facing right now?
Yeah, great question. It is obviously a concern. I think being able to play a football season, all regular season, and meet your TV requirements and TV contract certainly helps offset that a little bit. I think that was certainly a factor in the decision for the Big 12 to move forward with football during the year. If it could be done safely, was that to prevent some of those peripheral sports and student athletes being impacted financially by having some things not available to them. You needed to be able to hit your TV contract money that is revenue shared throughout the entirety of the league, and that was done with football. So that helps certainly. There is also there is the element of ticket sales that some people kindly were able to continue even though they weren't able to attend, had maybe purchased season tickets or purchased a suite or a donation like that, and they decided to go ahead and keep that in as a donation into the scholarship funds for King of the State as a donation and a write-off, and then be set for the year after. So there were some perks that were done. So there are some things that were able to offset a little bit financially the hit that you might take normally in a year. But no doubt, there is a significant loss. And I'm sure everyone has seen the news about coaches reducing salaries and those of us here at K-State taking salary reductions and furloughs to try and offset all that stuff. We'll still operate this year with a significant loss, and the hope is that we'll take out a loan interest-free. There's the CARES Act as well that will help offset some of that money, and then you just try and pay off the low-interest loan over the next few years. You know, K-State, thankfully, is a school that, for the most part, under Gene Taylor, I would say, has been exceptionally fiscally responsible. I think John Curry set that standard when he was here. It has been continued by Gene Taylor and the staff. We're also at the very minimum of sports to operate at the NCAA level. It's 16 sports, so it's not like we're flush with extra sports that require quite a bit of money, so we can able to spread that out evenly across the needs of all of our athletes and staff. So, yeah, no doubt there is a growing concern as basketball certainly continues to move forward. If you can't have fans and stands, it will impact some of that ticket revenue that you have. It impacts your TV money. And then the NCAA tournament obviously would be a big part of that as well. So, yeah, there's certainly a financial consideration to it all. I think it's not as cut and dried. And if we had more time, I'd love to get into all the ins and outs of that stuff for your audience, because I think fans just look at it from the outside and they're like, it's a huge moneymaker and it's all about money. It's not. Athletics is a nonprofit organ. So all that money that you see, the millions of dollars that you hear about that gets spent with TV and all that, it all gets poured back in to the student athlete some way, somehow. It's not going into their pocket necessarily because of NCAA rules, but they do get stipend checks. They do, in addition to their scholarship checks, they're getting $5,000 a semester and stipend checks on top of their scholarship checks, and then they're getting unbelievable amount of tutoring, free meals, free gear. There's a lot of perks, and they live. It's a very nice life. that a lot of people don't get. So it does get poured back in, but all that stuff's got to come from somewhere, cost and all that support. So that's what that all ties into.
Brian Smaller, our guest on Sports Ticket, our focus on K-State Athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, so time for an off-the-wall question. And next time we have you on, Brian, hopefully we can talk more about what's happening, you know, on the court, and both the women and men are playing on a regular basis. We'll have a little fun with this. What's the best mask that you have seen someone wear, or maybe you have been very very creative, or maybe your wife gave you a mask to wear, I don't know, in regards to what you've seen out there, whether it be in games so far this year, whether it be on the sidelines, whether you see parents in the stands that are allowed to attend? Has there been a mask that you've seen, or a creative way of having a little bit of fun with this? Have you seen one that stands out?
I have not, although it's funny you asked that. Last night on Twitter, I saw somebody post an Andy Reid mask, and it is a face mask that is the exact replica of Andy Reid, his lower face, and it was just so off-putting at first because it was a young woman that had posted it. Yeah. So the top half, it's long hair of a woman, and then the bottom half was the exact replica of Andy Reid. Ian Campbell, who does our pregame stuff with football and works on K-State game day with us, he had long asked about if we were going to have masks on the air while we did our show, and I said, no, we're in a spot where we won't need those. And he was disappointed because he had a long list of masks ideas that he wanted to implement, and whether it was wearing one that looked like Reggie, one of our other co-hosts, I think he was going to do, he had all sorts of ideas. He didn't share them all with me, but he was very excited about coming up with wild mask ideas. So who knows? We might get into those next year. Now, hopefully we're not having to deal with that this next year, but no, I have, other than the Andy Reid one, I don't have any other one.
I forgot about the Andy Reid one. I came across that one yesterday as well, but that actually didn't get me to start it on the off-the-wall question for the day. I should have tied all together, but it actually didn't, so I'm glad that you brought that up. There's some creativity out there, no doubt. Ian's a good guy, and I thank you for connecting us with him because he's been on our show a couple times as well. And you know, I think in this time and age, you got to have at least some fun somehow, some way. So that's one,
right.
One way of going about it. All right. How can people follow your work or with K-State Athletics? I'll just give you a chance to give your spiel so people can whether go to kstatesports.com or to watch games on the internet or whatever they need to do.
Yeah, kstatesports.com is kind of your hub to get to where you need to go. There's usually links out of the schedules of each respective team to the ESPN broadcast. If you get through Big 12 Now and ESPN Plus. Which is a subscription model that if you're not already subscribed, I would encourage you to do so. It's $5 a month. I think it's that's total. I think you can get the discounted deal. It's like $60 a year. And not only do you get the access to the K-State games, but you get access to all the other Big 12 games that are going on, especially if you're a women's basketball, baseball, volleyball fan. You're going to get a majority of your content from there. And they also have all the shows, like the Bruce Weber Show, Chris Kleiman Show, Jeff Nettie TV shows, those sorts of things are all on there as well. And then the other games for the other teams in the Big 12. And here in a couple of years, when Oklahoma and Texas's respective third-tier deals expire with their partners, they'll be folded into ESPN Plus as well. So if you're not into it now, you would want to be, I would think. They also have the links to the ESPN app for the other games that are on regular channels of ESPN. So I would say that that's the place to go to watch all that stuff. Of course, K-State Sports Network from Learfield IMG College on the radio side for all of our coverage of games, and hopefully we're back doing those here pretty quick.
I hope so as well. Cross our fingers for you, and of course at the high school level for people that are having games kind of going through the same situation. Some high schools out here haven't even played a game yet, and we're into January. So it is a different environment, and we greatly appreciate your patience and your time, and I wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully we'll be listening to your call here very, very soon of women's basketball again. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks. No problem, Wade. Glad to talk to you.
That's Brian Smoller, sportscaster, senior director of broadcasting video services at K-State Athletics.